Morning that's going to be a little different. It's titled, What on Earth is God Saying? And I just want to share with you some of my experiences, encounters with the Lord that are intended to be prayer points. I'm going to get a little ahead of myself, but when Hamilton Filmalter was here, he stood up here and he told everybody that I was a prophet. I don't like that title. I don't know what I am. But I'm that part I get. Thank you. I'm not a title guy. Some people are title guys. I'm not a title guy. I don't care about that. But I am comfortable with the term prophetic intercessor because my main thing is revelatory praying. And I function in the office of a pastor, so I'm comfortable with that. But I don't mean to just be talking about myself, but I just want to set the plate, if as you would, to what I'm going to share with you, some of my encounters with the Lord and how they've come about and some that are yet to happen. Is that okay? So I've got a lot of notes here, and the reason for us is to keep me on track, because if one event will lead me to another, and I'll, who knows where I'll end up. I want to be focused, but I just want to say that in prayer, I felt permission to share these things with you today, because I don't share them publicly. I'm not that, typically that, thus saith the Lord, stand in front of people and declare things guy. But I can do it. First of all, I was asked a question last Sunday that I thought was a great question. And usually if someone asks me a question, I think other people are thinking it. I don't know if that's right or not, but I'm assuming. So define activism versus action. And activism, I'm just going to give you the dictionary descriptions, then I'll go into my thoughts on it. Activism is a doctrine or practice that emphasizes direct, vigorous action, especially in support or opposition to one side of a controversial issue. Action, the fact or process of doing something, typically to achieve an aim. So, in my mind, based on Webster's definition, we are men and women taking action for the kingdom of heaven as activists for change, to deliver people from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son. So that works that way. Having said that, I don't like the way the word activism is used today. It's not that I disagree with the actual definition, but the way it's used today, I wouldn't consider myself an activist in that context any more than when I'm happy, I would say I'm gay. That was funny, I thought. But. So when word usage changes, I think we need to be careful. So I'll say it this way. One of my favorite books in the Bible is the book of Acts. We could call it Actions of the Holy Spirit. We could call it Activism of the Early Church. And both would not harm the content of the book of Acts. Is this making sense?
Yes.
Okay. Jesus in his earthly ministry was a man of action. John the Baptist was a man of action. To the religious hierarchy, they were activists, because they were coming to bring about change to a corrupt system. So I already shared with you the part about what I said about Hamilton. I love Hamilton. He's a dear friend. I just wish he wouldn't have done what he did. That's beat that one up enough. When I was young in the Lord, he tested me with a number of times to see if he could trust me with revelation that I would carry in prayer, not to speak out publicly as prophets do. Prophets prophesy, but prophesying does not make you a prophet. Okay, so you can move in the gift of prophecy, like perhaps I did this morning with Lucas, but that doesn't, does this make sense? It doesn't make you an office holder, just a spokesperson. So I felt that the Lord wanted me to share what I'm going to share with you today. Excuse me. And again, just I'm going to probably remind you more than once, these are prayer points. These aren't things that to say, oh, wow, look at that or anything, because I don't like that stuff. I just want, I think God's called us to make his name famous, not our own. So I'm going to start in 1983. Is that okay? Some of you guys don't remember 1983 because you weren't here. Yeah. Some of you sadly remember it well, but anyways. 1983, in my little universe, the world was good because Ronald Reagan was president and things were, I felt like things were heading in the right direction and I was happy. But I had a, I'll just say it this way, I had a vision and I saw millions of people streaming into huge churches across America. But there wasn't the kind of spiritual activity that you would typically see with revival. It was just a large number of people going to church. Okay, so this part of the vision is going to be probably too weird for some of you. I heard, thanks Steve, I heard the opening music of ABC Sports. Do you remember it? I was like, what? What's happening? And the voiceover said, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat, and then he said, the triumph of the human spirit. And I knew it was the Lord drawing people, but it was being organized with human skill and energy that left the people hungry. Is this making sense? So it was a church movement, not necessarily a kingdom movement. I call it Christian light, great taste, less filling. But this was the birth of the evangelical megachurch throughout the 80s and 90s. The Lord showed it to me, and that's what I prayed about. I prayed that lives would be touched in those great churches and that they would succeed. But a lot of them had some real struggles. Second, so these are the three moves of God that the Lord told me I would see in my lifetime. So this is the second one that's already occurred. In the second vision, I saw a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit with mighty signs and wonders, but it didn't continue because carnality and rebellion were not addressed in the leadership. Men with flawed character were operating in ministry unchallenged. This occurred in the 90s and 2000s. It began powerfully with a man named Rodney Howard Brown from South Africa, who is a man of godly character. He is not one of the ones I just mentioned. It spread throughout North America and the world, most notably in Toronto, Canada, and Pensacola, Florida. It came to a close with Todd Bentley, whose carnality and rebellion sullied the revival, and the thing just kind of fizzled out. Are you guys familiar with any of this? Pensacola revival, the Toronto renewal, all that? Okay. Third, move of God that he showed me is the one that we're, I think, about to start. Okay, so this is a prayer point. This is to give you hope, because if you just watch the news, your brains will fall out. And they'll be so scrambled, you won't be able to put them back. So. Okay. So this third vision is the glory of God revealed in the context of a billion soul harvest. This revelation has come through many encounters with the Lord beginning in the early 80s and it continues to this day. So the initial experience was the Lord took me up in the spirit and showed me whole neighborhoods with people streaming out of their homes into the residential streets and walking toward the presence of the Lord in church buildings. The residential streets were full, the collector streets were full, the arterial streets were full. They looked like streams, but the movement was people. And the buildings were full. How many of you saw the footage at Asbury College? Any of the footage? That's what it looked like, just people streaming in. And there's like no earthly reason for it. Does that make sense? So it's just the glory of God dropping in a building. And that's the result. I've had people tell me over the years when I've shared this privately with some minister friends, they say, well, God's not going to draw people into the buildings. We have to go out and compel them to come in. And I go, well, that's part of evangelism, but you might want to retune your God meter because he's big enough to draw people. And so this makes I think what happens is we're locked into this thing that's so, I think it's destructive, whereas if I'm doing something, everybody should be doing it. And that's not the case. Do you ever think about a city, like take Paso Robles, for example? There are people that aspire to be trash collectors. And I'm really glad. There are people that aspire to be policemen. There are people that aspire to open businesses. There are people to aspire to serve in government. There are people that aspire, and it all breaks down and it works. Why? It's almost like God's got his hand on things. Could be. But it's that way in the church too. We don't all do the same thing. So we do our part and the whole job gets done. And each individual congregation that's part of the church, when we work together, the job really gets done. But if we're competing with each other and criticizing each other, we're not going to get the job done. Okay. So it was like the Asbury College footage, but it was everywhere. So that night, how many of you guys remember Ollie? She was an old Pentecostal intercessor. I mean, just been a dear friend for years, and I'm just waiting to see her again in the next life. So I didn't know what to do. I was overwhelmed with the vision, and I went to Ollie's house around midnight. So you know she's a godly woman. She put up with that. But when she opened the door, I said hi, and she said, the presence of that Lord that was on me in the vision was still on me, and she started, you know how old Pentecostal women are, ooh, ooh, she started doing that. I think it's kind of cool, actually. I got part of it down. But she began to weep and shake and pray, and I began to weep and shake and pray, and we prayed till about 1 in the morning, and I let her go back to bed. I'm a late night person. So then the Lord said to me during that encounter, I will gather over a billion souls to myself in this move. And then it helped me begin to understand the purpose of the first two movements that he showed me. The first move was to purge the church of selfish ambition. In other words, we're building his kingdom, not our own. So God isn't looking for the triumph of the human spirit. He's looking for faith in him. Okay? So the second move of the Holy Spirit was to reveal the connection between godly character and maintaining the anointing. God can use the rebellious like King Saul in the Old Testament, but we are to become like Christ. And godly character, sound doctrine, and the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit are the three-stranded cord that is not easily broken. That's what we need, okay? And that's what I believe God's going to bring us in this next move. Another night of prayer resulted in a second vision, and this one was really impacted me. I was taken up in the spirit. I was praying at night, but when I was taken up in the spirit, it was daytime, and we were hovering over the Salinas River, right south of the 13th Street Bridge. It was the old bridge, not the one that's there now. And the river was empty because it was summer. That sounds funny saying that, but the Lord said to me, do you see your river? Let me give you some advice. If the Lord asks you a question, don't try to answer it. Let him answer it. I said, yes, Lord. He said, there's coming a false awakening that will overtake everything, even dominate the media. While this is happening, I will move in my people like your river, under the surface and in the opposite direction of everything else that's happening. Okay? It will be a deep move of true holiness and repentance. That's the season we're in right now. So if you got stuff in your life that doesn't belong there, now's the time to get rid of it. No judgment, no criticism, just amazing grace to liberate you, okay? That's what the message is right now. He said, when I break out onto the surface like your river with a great outpouring, it will overshadow and bring to an end the false awakening. The false awakening he revealed to me recently is the woke movement. This is a season of false awakening, I call it, and it's going to come to a close when the Lord starts to move. There were two signs that the Lord gave me as tokens that the transition was going to come. The first one was that the river would rise up to the level of the 13th Street Bridge, which it did in January. And the second was seeing the outpouring at Asbury. I didn't know where it was going to happen, but I knew there was going to be a token of that kind of move that drew people. So this year is our year of transition. I don't know what God's going to do next year because I'm not that guy, but it's going to be good. So I want to share with you, everybody knows that the Salinas River flows underground, yes? It's about a mile wide. It's big. And it flows from south to north, which is opposite of all the other rivers in California. So that was the illustration the Lord gave me. And I didn't share the part that he showed me the river full. And it hasn't been full since he showed me that vision until this year. So I'm excited. I want you to be excited in your faith that God's really getting ready to bust loose. And he's gonna wreck a lot of stuff that shouldn't be happening. So I'm going to take you through another little cycle. Don't want to keep you here too long. But in July of 2019, I was taken up in the spirit and I was dropped into a lab. And the people were wearing hazmat suits and they were working on something, but I didn't know what. There was no word, there was no impression, there was no feeling. It was just a simple vision. Then from there, I was taken to an airport terminal building where people in hazmat suits were spreading something from stainless steel canisters they were wearing on backpacks. It was like a fog coming out, and they were spreading it on the seats and on the public areas of the terminal building, appropriately named in this case. I could see the people's faces that they were Asian, but I didn't know they were Chinese. I didn't know what they were. I just knew that. So I didn't really understand what I was seeing because there was no thought or word. If I get an encounter with the Lord like that, I just pray in the spirit because I don't know how to pray as I ought. Is that fair? Margaret Wangari came in March of 2020. The day she arrived, they shut the country and the world down because of the COVID pandemic. We were sitting in the living room sharing. She had the exact same vision, but she had more clarity. She said it was the Chinese people that made the COVID virus and spread it. Isn't that weird? Two people on opposite sides of the planet seeing the exact same thing. If I was as spiritual as Margaret, I would have known what it was about then. Not even close. Another encounter that I had that had to do with the CCP. I want to be clear. I love the Chinese people. I've been to that part of the world, and they're amazing people, but the CCP is a gang of thugs. And I'm just looking forward to the Lord toppling that. Maybe 10 hits like Egypt. Bit of bada boom. And it's not because I'm being a political nut job here. I'm just saying the worst people for the CCP is for the Chinese populace. You know, the largest church in the world in any nation is in China. It's over 300 million Christians. And I would like to see them set free to worship God in spirit and in truth. So Jesus, put your foot on the neck of that dragon. So before it was the CCP, it was the emperors. It's not the form of government, it's the spirit. It's important for us to know. So they opened up, I go to Planet Fitness in case anybody cares. It's a little plug for them. The last day before they closed Planet Fitness down the second time, which was July of 2020, I was sitting in the massage chair, my favorite piece of equipment. And the wall in front of me disappeared. I don't ask for this stuff, it just happens, okay? So the wall in front of me disappeared. And I could see in different places throughout our country. And there were Chinese men in suits, and they all wore exactly the same suit, and they looked quite alike to me, so I don't want to be inappropriate there, but it's like it was the same person. But I think the Lord was showing me that it was CCP. They were carrying huge sums of money like this, reams of $100 bills, and they were pushing them in the backs of business people, politicians, education, media, medical, entertainment, sports, every cultural influence they were pushing money into for influence. It was a lot of money. I would say billions. And these who sold themselves for the money were doing the bidding of the CCP. In the summer of 2020, the Lord spoke to my heart that President Trump would receive the most votes, so I assumed he was going to win until September of 2020. I watched an interview with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, her last. I felt led to watch it, and I just want to make everyone very clear that I don't agree with any of her positions, philosophies, or values, but the Lord told me to watch it. During the interview, she made this comment. She said, when the new president is installed next January, and it was like I just went cold. I was like, oh no, there's something up. There's something afoot. So all this stuff with the virus, all this stuff with the money being pushed in the backs of people, all of this stuff was a cooperative effort to overturn the election. You might think I'm nuts. It's okay. I might be. But when I prayed about it, the Lord's answer surprised me. He said, this is going to happen. But I didn't. I would say initially I felt outrage and anger, not toward the Lord, but toward those who sold us out. And I only shared this part with Sarah because everyone, all the prophetic voices were saying Trump's, you know, two terms consecutive, all this. And I was feeling like he wasn't going to get in. And so I just thought I must be wrong. I wanted to be wrong. Early in November, this is the last vision I'm going to share with you. And again, please remember, these are all prayer points. These aren't me just talking out my ear. Oh, yeah. The reason it struck me was because as a Supreme Court justice, and she was a very intelligent woman, just misguided in my opinion. But she used the word installed, not inaugurated. And that just told, that was the trigger for me. Thank you. So early in November and early in December, I had the exact same encounter twice. And one was at my home and one was here. I have a habit of praying with music, worship music. I have a playlist on my phone called Worship, and I turn that on, it goes for about an hour, and then that's my prayer time. And I play it really loud. I come down here when Sarah's home because she doesn't like it, really. I like to feel the music. But both times I was praying for President Trump, because this is, okay, November, early November and early December of 2020, Same exact thing happened. This is kind of wild. So hang in there with me. Both times, the music, I couldn't hear the music, but I could hear an audible voice reading to me a portion from John 11 with special emphasis on key points, and I want to do that with you. Is that okay? So John 11, now I'm sorry if I'm redundant, but I was praying for the president, and everyone was saying it's the election's going to be overturned and he's going to be in, and I wasn't thinking that. But I was praying for him anyways. I pray for him a lot because I can't believe he survived this long, to be honest with you. John 11, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters went to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. So I'm going to emphasize the way it was emphasized to me, okay? So it just came out. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So I wasn't reading the Bible. I didn't have the Bible open. I was pacing up and down the center aisle here as I do. My knees hurt if I kneel, so that's what. It's nothing spiritual about pacing. It's just to keep my joints moving. And the music is blaring out of these speakers. And you can hear it next door. And I can't hear the music, and I'm hearing this voice reading this to me. And the inflections and the tone changed at different portions, so that's what I'm relating to you now. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus, So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you are going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, but if he sees the light of this world, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said after he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go to wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, go to him. So if we did to Jesus what some of the people are doing to the prophetic people today, we would say Jesus was a false prophet because he first said, this sickness is not unto death, and then he said, he's dead. Right? Now you're kind of shocked because I'm saying it about Jesus, but I'm saying, when there's prophecies, when there's messages that come, just let them breathe. Just let them set. We don't know the outcome. And if you get too quick to judge, you're going to get into a place of unbelief. Okay? That's true with the scripture. There are people that read the scripture and there was a gathering demoniac, and then in another gospel there was two. Well, one guy just reported on the one guy that got delivered. He didn't report on both. But people will get lost in that and they'll go, well, there's contradictions in the Bible, and it starts to break down their faith. There's no contradictions in the Bible. There's contradictions in between our ears, but none in the Bible. Then Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us go that we may die with him. Hang on there, Thomas. He kind of puts his foot in it a little later, as we know. It does sound like Thomas. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews who had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out to meet him. Went out and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. then this part was emphasized. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if you had showed up, the election would have gone the way. The parallels are kind of striking to me. But even now I know whatever you ask, God will give it to you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And then she takes off. You know, sometimes when our unbelief is challenged, it's just more comfortable to be in a different space. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. And as soon, talk to Mary. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her and saying, she is going to the tomb to weep. And then there's another emphasis on this portion. Then Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him. She fell down at his feet saying, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I think there's people that were really believing and praying for that election to be fixed and it wasn't. And they're in the same boat that Mary's in right here. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and he said, where have you laid him? Then they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? And I would say that was in a mocking tone when it was read to me. It's really interesting hearing it this way. Then Jesus, and let me say, when it was read to me, it was read in the old King James. I'm reading New King James, so I don't know if that matters. And I don't know why I heard it in old King James. I don't even know why I'm mentioning it, but full disclosure. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, and I think he was groaning in himself because they were mockingly saying, well, couldn't you have come here and kept him from dying, you know? Jesus came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench. He's been dead 4 days, and there's no refrigeration. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Now, I'm just going to stop here for a second. This is not part of the revelation that I had at the time, but it's just part of the text that begs for attention. Everyone that was there saw what he did with Lazarus, yes? And some went away from that moment saying, we need to kill Lazarus. Which is redundancy defined. Okay? You have to have faith when a miracle is happening to see the glory of God, or you're going to walk away from it with the wrong conclusion. That's what I want. Okay. I said it. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, and I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. So I am not going to say to you that exactly the Lord said to me, this applied to Trump. I'm saying it happened while I was praying for him, and I saw these parallels, but I'm not saying thus saith the Lord. I'm saying this is a point of prayer. Okay. First of all, Trump's political career became sick and died in 2020, while seemingly the Lord didn't show up in time to help, even though we asked. Okay. It is for the glory of God, not to death, this is my impression, to reveal the depravity of the administrative state and our failed two-party system. You guys know we're under a massive psyop with the media and everything that's going on right now. We're being told what to think and how to think it. I didn't include this one, but I'm going to do it right now. One of the visions I had in 2015, somewhere in there, I didn't write it down, but it stuck in my head. I was in prayer and I saw these sine waves going through the atmosphere. And there were demons riding on the sine waves. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what are you showing me? He said, there are demonic voices riding on the media's sound waves, and some people are being oppressed and even possessed by those spirits by consistently listening to the lies that they're spewing. And I just can't urge you enough, if you're watching mainstream media, just turn it off and open your Bible. I think the Bible is more clear on what's happening today than the media anyway. So the third point is roll away the stone. I could say run again in 2024. No way, he stinks. Now, Sarah's the only one that I've shared this with, and I shared it with Dennis and Daryl more recently at breakfast. But Sarah and I joke every time Trump gets indicted or there's some new thing coming out, we look at each other, he says, by now he stinketh. The uniparty, the deep state, as some call the administrative or bureaucratic state, the media are trying to make him stink through lawfare. Yeah, trying to, don't resurrect him. So whenever I pray for President Trump now, I always pray, I always end my prayer time with Lazarus, come forth. So rise to your rightful place and reveal the glory of God to those who believe. Amen. And the final point is unbind him. I don't know where this is going with everything they're doing to him, but he might be bound and he might be covered. But Jesus is going to say unbind him. That's what I believe. That's what I'm praying for. I don't have it. Like I'm not saying thus saith the Lord. I'm saying thus thinketh Pat. But he's going to be freed from human bindings and the things that are blinding him right now. Because I think there's areas in his life that there are people around him that God opened his eyes to those that are really with him and those that are not. You know, like Judas Pence or... That happened out loud, didn't it? Okay. Jesus, forgive him and call him back to yourself. That's my prayer for Mike Pence. I almost said it again. Anyways, that's the impression I had during those encounters. Lazarus was in the ground 4 days and Trump's in the ground 4 years. So based on what I've shared with you, will you believe and pray for a great harvest, an ingathering in the church? The restoration of the church and the restoration of our nation as one nation under God. I don't know how God's going to do it, but you know how I'm praying. I believe these visions are converging in 2024. That's why I'm bringing it to you. Please start interceding. You don't have to agree with me. I would rather have somebody else other than Trump. That's your perfect right. Vote for whoever you want. You know, just pray and see what God wants you to do. Can Because I think he's going to trump all other candidates. That's what I think. But in the end, when Jesus returns, there will be sheep and goat nations. Have you read that? Matthew 25, right? So we will be a sheep nation if we take action. And if you want to use the word activist, well, I don't care. But if we take action in prayer and step out in faith and do what we are called to do. Okay, so let me give you the baseline minimum is pray and vote. If you're not registered, get registered and vote. Please. There's about 50 million, 40 to 50 million evangelicals that are not even registered to vote in this country, and that blows my mind while they run around and say, we got to end abortion. Well, here's a good start. Register and vote for people that believe what you believe. Just running around complaining, not praying, not doing anything is no bueno, okay? So, you guys have seen my flag shirt, yeah? You love it, right? You can't miss that shirt. But it comes from a company run by a man that is on the front line of the precinct strategy movement to get volunteers for election integrity. I bought the shirt from him to support what he's doing, okay? That's one of my ways. Because I'm not really an out there guy, Sarah will tell you, I'm more of a recluse. She tries to get me to talk to her in the morning, and I just stare. Takes me a while to get going. She's full speed. Complete paragraphs coming out before her eyes even open. That's true. I August 16th, 1981, 6 a.m., this beautiful little blonde wakes up next to me, first time, okay? Wakes up next to me, and there's full paragraphs coming out. I'm like, what have I done? I don't know what's. You can talk to me at night. You can talk to me at 2 in the morning, and I'll carry on a great conversation with you. But 6 in the morning, probably not going to happen. So anyways, he's doing that. One way to help election integrity if you don't have the ability or whatever to volunteer at some level, buy a shirt. Buy a pillow. Buy a My Pillow. We serve my coffee because that's the way that we can support Mike Lindell and his efforts to fix. Our elections are a joke. They're a joke. You know, when Obama ran for president, there was this kind of this sweeping wave that hit the country. I wasn't a part of it, but there was this sweeping wave that hit the country. It was, we're going to elect our first black American president. And a lot of my Republican side of my family voted for him. It was funny, after he passed Obamacare, I said, how do you like him now? I'm not that godly. I like to get even. You might be a person that waves a flag on an overpass. That might be how you show your patriotism. You might run for mayor. Yeah. Or school board. Or whatever the Lord calls you to do, but do something. Take action. So let's be a people of faith and action, yes? I'm a prayer guy, that's my thing. I'm really comfortable in the closet. Kind of went back to that earlier illustration that you didn't laugh at. Can we pray? Father, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you. You are welcome here. You're welcome in every aspect of our lives. And we want to be filled with your life. Lord, revive the church. Awaken those that sleep. Let us see the great ingathering of souls that you've revealed. Let us be a part of it. Whether it's going out and inviting, praying, doing both, whatever. Whatever you call us to do, Lord. Father, we pray for the restoration of the church, that we would be one body with one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Lord, that we would be one, that the fulfillment of your prayer, Lord Jesus, when you said, Father, make them one as we are one, would find fulfillment in our lifetime. And Lord, restore these United States of America. Fix our justice system. Maybe I should say our injustice system. Lord, as you revealed to me many years ago that an eagle can only fly to great heights if it has a healthy left wing and right wing. And both wings of the two-party system are clearly broken. And the eagle is beginning to fall. Lord, heal the left wing and the right wing. Heal our nation. Give us the humility to admit that there are people on other sides of the aisle that see things that we do not, and there are things that we see that they do not. And help us to work as one. Lord, we need you. The world doesn't need our opinions. It needs you. And help us to manifest you, Lord. Until that glorious day when you return for us. In Jesus' name, amen.